Doris Bade, Frank Isola, Bill Plaschke. You guys feeling the draft?
I think I got
the NFL draft. How long are you going to use that line?
How long are you going to use that line?
We've been in quarantine for a month. I mean, this is what happens. You get that joke. Spotlight on Joe Burrow. Today is interview with ESPN Radio Baton Rouge. Quote, whatever team I go to, it's going to be a challenge to begin. I'm going to have to persevere through it like I have in the past. I don't need to see any more than that. Bill Plaschke, around the horn to you. How do you hear Burrow, and how do you think the Cincinnati Bengals hear Burrow?
I hear it as a very human response from a lot of people in this situation. So imagine starting in this environment, a new job with a struggling organization, and you're being asked to lead the organization out of the wilderness. A little bit of trepidation there. I think he's lowering expectations a little bit. Very human of him. Again, very human response in a very inhumane time. I don't blame him for saying this. This is the worst time ever to be the first round pick, the number one overall pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, to be asked to take them to places they haven't been before in this environment. Tough job.
Mm-hmm. Frank Isola, how do you hear Burrow, and how do you think the Bengals hear him?
Well, what do we want him to do? Pull a Joe Willie Namath and guarantee a Super Bowl victory? First of all, he doesn't know where he's going to get drafted. There's been a lot of talk that other teams could move up to take him. That's one thing. And he also knows that when you're the number one overall pick, a lot of pressure. When you're a quarterback coming off a Heisman Trophy, even more pressure. Just ask Baker Mayfield about that. So this is a guy that's getting good advice, that's come across as very humble. I like the way that he's handled it. I would be happy if I'm Cincinnati, because he shouldn't go out there and say, don't worry, Cincinnati, you draft me, I'll lead you to the promised land. That's not the right tone to set.
Okay. So, and you're fine with him not even mentioning the Bengals. You think that's a sign of humility. All right. Sarah Spain, how do you hear Joe Burrow, and how do you think the Bengals hear him?
Yeah, I just think there's no point in giving a soundbite about the Bengals and then having him not get drafted first for any reason, or get traded down or up. Who knows? So it's just smart to keep it vague there. I think he's handled himself incredibly well this entire lead up to the draft. He's very media savvy. He understands how to say the right things, be humble when necessary, be confident other times. I think he has a really smart approach to this. He even acknowledged that the draft is completely different than everything else in our capitalist system. You just go where you're forced to go, and you make the best of it. And he understands with OTAs and the long offseason and a season that's in question here with the NFL, that there's going to be a lot of obstacles in his way. And by saying, I'm going to handle them like I have before, he says, I'm confident, but let's also make sure our expectations are proportional situation. I think he's handling himself great. If I were the Bengals and Bengals fans, I would be thrilled.
Thrilled. Okay. Well, let's drill down just 1 second more. It seems like all of you are not totally sure that the Bengals are going to be the one drafting him number one. Plaschke, you could start there.
Oh, I think they're definitely going to take him number one. I think there's no question. Well, I think he's setting the whole thing up for this. Why wouldn't they take him? And again, just like Sarah said, he's proven in everything he's done, he's the worthy number one pick.
Sure.
Both mentally
and physically.
But Frank
Isola, if I can interrupt you, Bill. Frank, you don't think it's a lock that the Bengals are the ones drafting number one then?
He's going number one. I think the lock, what we don't know is which team could end up with the top pick. Cincinnati could potentially trade down. You look at the draft the last few years, it's been pretty unpredictable. So I think everything's on the table right now.
Well, this was a topic
about Bengals.
Confidence. Yes, I hear you. I hear you, Sarah.
Come on.
If this was a topic about confidence, then I have to award a point in this Around the Horn game show to Sarah Spain, the face of confidence on this show. Point, Sarah, we move on to buy or sell. Christian McCaffrey, highest paid running back in football. That's a title that comes with, well, a whole lot of money and a whole lot of expectation and sometimes some shocking results. For McCaffrey, the fifth most scrimmage yards through the first 3 years of a career in history. We know about his skills, a very particular set of skills, skills that make him a nightmare for opposing defenses. However, recent highest paid running backs, a shocking number, did not finish the contract with the team that signed him. So, Sarah Spain, I ask you, how do you think 4 years, $64 million from the Panthers is going to go to Christian McCaffrey?
There are always going to be the concerns at that position, whether it's age, whether it's wear and tear. He's got more touches than anyone in the league last year. But this guy is different. He was first team All-Pro in two different positions last year at the age of 23. He had more catches since 2017 than anybody in the league other than DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas, the two best wide receivers. This guy is everything to the Panthers. And you may say going forward, right, their offense might not be as condensed because Cam Newton won't be there anymore. But Teddy Bridgewater, as talented as he is, 72% 60% of his passes last year didn't go past 9 yards. He's like not your guy for deep balls. So you've got Christian McCaffrey, the perfect weapon for the quarterback you're bringing in. You also don't have Keekly, Cam, or Ron. Who else you got?
Rest for your FaceTime, Sarah Spade, Frank Isola. How does big money to a running back sound to you in the NFL these days?
I'm going to be concerned. You know, he's never missed a game. That's great. He's a unique talent. That's what we like about him. He's only 23. But, Tony, I look at these top running backs just like top starting pitchers in baseball. Once you pay them, you start thinking, man, you know, I hope they can hold up. You start thinking, oh, let me cross my fingers and hope it could work out. Christian McCaffrey, we all love him. We know what he did, Sarah. But they're paying him for what he can do, and we've seen this with running backs in the past. The shelf life is not that long.
And Bill Plaschke in Los Angeles, you look like you're chomping at the bit to say a name. Go ahead. Tell us the running back.
You're asking me this question? Have you lived through Todd Gurley out here?
Todd Gurley.
Giving him a contract. First off, Christian McCaffrey, great running back. They have 2 years of him with their team. They don't need to do this yet. They had 2 years left. And what happened to Todd Gurley, they gave him all the money to be the centerpiece, the face of the franchise. Running backs just can't hold up like that. You see what happens. Yes, he's an exceptional running back. He's had more touches than everybody. That's the bad part. He's on the field the whole time. You play it safe with him. You know, I love the kid. You don't get the kind of money now.
That's how you win an argument, Bill Plaschke. You play the Todd Gurley card. Points to Bill Plaschke, which means we say goodbye to Frank Isola. This very, very quick elimination. And showdown, Sarah Spain and Bill Plaschke. Look at this. Madigan fans, this is the Chinese Baseball League, the game in Taiwan, as they restart sports without fans and live audiences. Sarah Spain, here's the question. Are Madigan fans better than no fans? And can you see a world where MLB or NBA or the NFL or the WNBA or whatever league resorts to Madigan fans?
I think Madigan fans are better than nothing. I do think you need some audio piped in that's appropriate with whatever the home team's just done. Gasps, cheers, etc. I'm going to say no masks on the Madigans, though. I realize we're modeling good behavior, but let's just have a little bit of a departure from reality with the masks on the Madigans.
Mm-hmm. Bill Platt.
No. Madigans are just a reminder of how absurd everything is. Don't show the Madigans. Don't show the stands. When these games come back with no fans, if they do come back with no fans, show just the field, show just the players, make it a true TV production, ignore the fact, and try to avoid the fact that nobody's watching.
If they look like they were Westworld, if we got to that level, but we're not there right now. Bill Plaschke points. Bill Plaschke FaceTime.
Wow.
Tomorrow, April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th, the 73rd anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking baseball's color barrier. And if we were playing baseball, every player on the field would be wearing number 42. There would be honors throughout the baseball. It would be a great chance to remember his courage, his strength. I encourage everyone, because we're going to be missing that this year, go to YouTube, check out his videos, check out his quotes. A life is not worth living unless it's judged by the impact you have on others. Let's rely on Jackie Robinson's strength and courage during this tough time.
Very well said, Bill Plaschke. I always think it's one of the coolest things. Everybody wears 42 this one day, and then the number is retired for an entire league.
Yeah.
Sarah Spain, Frank Isola, thank you for joining us. Bill Plaschke, today's champion. We're on a 23 and 50-minute break. Oh!